Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. Dr. Williams is the author of the acclaimed book, Shattered by the Darkness, Putting the Pieces Back Together After Child Abuse. Dr. Williams is on the senior leadership team at Baylor College of Medicine in Houston, Texas. And Dr. Williams travels the United States speaking and training professionals, parents, and victims about the importance of dealing with abuse and personal trauma head on and not being afraid to break the silence of your own personal pain. Feel free to call in to tonight's show at 888-627-6008 and speak with Dr. Williams and his guests live on air. And now, your host, Dr. Williams.
Welcome live from the most beautiful city in the world, Houston, Texas. And we just welcome you to the program that we call Breaking the Silence. And tonight, I is a money-back guarantee. I promise you, if you invest a little bit of your time into this hour, you are going to be able to, at 9 o'clock, an hour away, be able to close your computer, log off the radio station or whatever, and go, wow, I got something from that. And we always try to plant something inside of you that you can use next week. And tonight's guest is one of those authors that when you read it, it is like you're having lunch with this person because it's so easy to understand. And I do conferences all over the country. And I opened up one not too long ago before the COVID pandemic hit us. And he was probably the most well-known, most sought-after, most best-selling author in this traumatic world. And I bought his book. I listened to his speech, and I sit there and go, I didn't understand what he said. I couldn't figure it out. And I have 4 or 5 college degrees, and I just flat couldn't figure out, let alone read the book. I mean, it's a nice, thick book. It was pretty, but it was so hard to read. Tonight's guest is not that way. It's very practical, broken down in ways that when I read 2 of her books this week, I was moved and was like, wow, this stuff is really good. So I'm anxious to, I want you to call your neighbors, your friends. If you have anybody that has experienced any type of trauma in their life, anybody that's in the military right now, or that has come out of the military, a veteran, from the military, would be a perfect listener for tonight's program. You're going to be able to take some stuff and really, really apply. I want to say right now we have people not only from California that's listening to us. We have Portland, Oregon represented tonight. We have Florida coming in from us. And Curtis is probably going to tell me middle part of the week that we have somebody on the other side of the world that's listening to us right now. But I want to just say hello to some special people in Illinois tonight. And Curtis will not know this, but he wasn't even born yet. But Carterville, Illinois, I have some dear friends that are listening to us tonight. And one of those friends, Ben, is in that military mode and has also just retired from the police force. So I think both of those categories are going to be things that he'd be really interested in tonight. So welcome to the program. Next week, I want you to mark this down. To be honest with you, this is our anniversary show. For a year, we have been going on every Sunday night for a solid year long. And we're going to try to celebrate that in the next few weeks. But this is our year anniversary to be with the best radio station in the country with Doug and Don. And now Chris, I believe, is on there too tonight. But next week, we're going to have something that you will not want to miss, and you may want to do some homework before you even get on the program next week. His name is Todd Waits, and I don't even know how to describe this, but he's a one-armed piano player. He lost his arm from cancer as a child, and he went through the bullying of what that would do to a child and how kids treat other kids. It's unbelievable. but he has an awesome message on bullying, on how to overcome heartaches and trials and trauma in your life. And I believe he has a conference that he does in schools all around the country and world. Real rockers don't hate, something like that. True rockers don't hate. And his YouTube song that he has right now that's very popular is just awesome. Todd Waits will be with us next week right here at 8 o'clock p.m. Central Time next Sunday night. So we want to get you to that. Tonight, Curtis is with me, my son, and I asked him to just jump on board and be on the program tonight since he is not only the best-looking son in the country, but he is also in the military, in the United States Army. And this being that kind of discussion tonight, I thought he would have some good insight wisdom. But if you want to call in tonight, 888-627-6008, I would love to have you call in and join in on the conversation. A comment, a question, a thought, and then we're going to just bring you on, let you speak, and our guest tonight has agreed to that. So 888-627-6008. It is an honor tonight to introduce to you Welby O'Brien. And I like to just start off when I read a book and I believe in the book, to go ahead and say, hey, when we take our first commercial break, jump online and buy the book. And the book that I really want you to buy is the one that is Love Our Vets, PTSD. And it's Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. And it's not just for families of veterans. It's for people like me that has endured trauma. And it's just an awesome, awesome book. And we're going to talk about that tonight. Welby is from Portland, Oregon, and she has a master's degree in counseling from Portland State University. She is probably one of the most well-known, sought-after speakers on this topic in the country. I think she has been on so many TV programs and interviews that it would make my list is this short, and hers is probably this long. I mean, just that awesome. But she is drawing from her own personal experiences, so she just didn't research this. She lived through it, and she has written the book Goodbye for Now that I read this week, an awesome book for those who have lost loved ones about grief preparation and support. Then she also has written the book Love Our Vets and a few others. She was a contributing author to The Chicken Soup for the Soul, several of those series, one on divorce and recovery and one on the spirit of America, and as well as Shepherding Women in Pain. So she's actively involved in leadership and teaching for over 30 years, and it is an honor to have Welby O'Brien from Portland, Oregon with us tonight. Welby, are you there? Can you hear me?
I am here. I can hear you. Thank you so much. My head's a little bigger, but other than that, I'm good.
Well, I left out half of what the internet, and I just go on the internet and kind of search for people, and your name is like, oh, my lands. This is an honor to have you on the program, and I just appreciate you being here.
Thank you.
I think the thing that I really appreciate the most is not only do you put words on pages that reflect what you have endured, what you have gone through, good things and bad things in your life and how you've made it through those situations, but you also put your money where your mouth is by putting shoe leather on your words, by doing activities and websites and foundations that you have done with the veterans. And I just applaud you. And I know my son, Curtis, if you want to jump in, Kurt, you may have a thought about just what she's doing for the vets right now.
Just like I said before, just everything that you do for us veterans dealing with PTSD is just out of this world. We have so many people that suffer with this and they don't have the ability to speak out about it, but you reach out to them and say, tell me what is going on. And that truly means the world to myself and every veteran that I know and I've served with, ma'am. So thank you again from the bottom of my heart for every single thing you do for us.
Thank you. And I would say the same thing. We all need each other, and what would we do without you who are serving? So I just, every day that goes by, we appreciate more and more the freedoms in this country and the sacrifices that you make. So thank you.
Well, we to kind of start off with, and you have no idea, I have no pre-written questions out because I just go from the heart. What, for people that are listening that haven't endured this, or they're wondering if maybe their husband, wife, or themselves have it, because PTSD is one of those things that we throw out really quick, like when a kid's really agitated, oh, he has ADHD. Mm-hmm. And we throw out these letters all the time. Can you tell me from your perspective and your research, what is PTSD and what causes it and what's your intake on that?
Okay. So post-traumatic stress disorder, and of course it's had all sorts of other names over the years, but that's currently what it's called. And it results from exposure to an experience that's horrific or life-threatening. And what happens is the whole person gets locked into emergency survival mode, fight, flight, or freeze, and stays locked in that emergency survival mode at some level for the rest of their life. So when something comes along that triggers them back to that original trauma, there's no coping reserve mechanism left. And so that's why we see symptoms like avoidance, anxiety, depression, hypervigilance, sleep problems, memory problems, relationship problems, outbursts of anger or other emotions, fear, withdrawal, numbing, sometimes often there's substance abuse, and putting up walls, and often, unfortunately, sometimes suicidal thoughts or attempts. And the thing that is, they're just people that are reacting normally to an abnormal experience. And I've been asked, well, how many people, you know, give me some numbers. And I was like, you can't do that, number one, because not everybody's going to report in. A lot of people are walking around with it that don't know they have it. And so I know there are millions just in the United States alone. And it also deeply and profoundly affects all those around them who love them. So it's a big thing. But the good news is there's hope.
There's always hope. There's always hope. You know, I think it's interesting because I use that scenario of flight, fright, and, you know, flight when you try to get in that mode. When, you know, we go through trauma, it takes us from this level to this level.
Yeah.
And for my life, during all those times before I came out, I stayed at this level for years. And then when anything would come in at me, I had no regulation on how I responded because I didn't have any play. I never came back down until my heart finally gave out. Wow. And is that what PTSD does? That they're in that mode of always on edge, like I was and am sometimes?
And that becomes your new normal. So yes, the hypervigilance, and that also explains why people with PTSD rarely sleep. If they do, they don't sleep well. The adrenaline has been pumping for years and it's just always there. You're kind of in, I'm gonna die any minute mode. And you're afraid of everything, and this isn't necessarily conscious, on the conscious level, but it's in your whole body, emotions, everything. It's just so ingrained in you that you have to survive because there's imminent danger. And so, yes, like you say, you're going to be in that hyper alert, and it wears you out because the adrenals are always pumping. You can't sleep. It affects everything in your life. And so the best thing to do is to have loved ones around you help you recognize, or if you're a loved one and you're wondering if someone in your family or in your circles might be struggling with that, to get to know what the symptoms are and to have the conversation and to just rally around with support and hope, because worst thing, worse than PTSD or anything else, is feeling alone. So when you know that somebody cares, you don't have to have all the answers. We're not there to fix them. We're there to support and be there to listen, to help find resources to help, and to just provide hope, because people need to know that they're not alone, that someone cares, and that there's hope.
Well, I have so many questions that I just want to pour out. I want to kind of just say, hey, listeners, can you call back, watch this next week? I want to just talk to Welby about one-on-one. But obviously, Welby, this isn't something that maybe you just got interested in by chance. Mm-hmm. What's the personal story? Is there a personal story behind your involvement with now what you're doing with the vets and the PTSD?
Yes, absolutely. And it wasn't in my life plan schedule. It was obviously God's plan, which I'm grateful for. But my husband and I both came from failed marriages in the past. And when we met each other, we were both, I don't remember how old we were. We were really old, but we were realizing we wanted to do this one right. And so when we first met, we actually met at church. And he told me right from the get-go, he said, Welby, I have PTSD and I'm all messed up. And I'm like, I never heard of it. But I didn't let him know that. And so the farther along we got, the more I realized this is an exceptional man. And this is a relationship that is worth fighting for. So we did a lot of praying, a lot of seeking counsel. I was having counseling already for my own issues, which was really, truly what I needed to do. And he had been through counseling for his stuff too. And so I signed up for a class at the VA that they had for loved ones, spouses, and so on. And I learned so much. I remember driving home the first night after that class, and I literally had to pull over to the side of the road and weep. The horrors that our warriors have been through that haunt them day and night was just overwhelming. We don't realize what people, whether it's military or domestic or anything, the horrors that people have been through that they're holding in. And then I learned it isn't me. And then I learned I can't fix it.
Those are
things I have to keep reminding myself, because I'm a fixer. I want to go, you know, step one, two, three, here's the plan. Why isn't this fixed? And that doesn't work. So that was the beginning. And we just really did a lot of praying, got a lot of counsel, and realized we want to do this. We know what the elephant in the room is.
Yes.
And we went into it with our eyes open. And I continued my own counseling because I needed coaching for me. No one I knew had been through this. So all my friends were like, no help at all that way, but supportive. And so I kept journaling what I was learning in my counseling sessions, what experiences in the relationship. And I started up a group of ladies that I'd met in that class. And we started meeting on a regular basis. And I was just taking notes as fast as I could just absorb it from those who were way ahead of me down the road, like been married 40 years to PTSD and all that.
Right.
And so we called our group Love Our Vets. And then the more I journaled and the more I took in from these people, the more there was material for a book. And I started just kind of knocking on doors. We started the Facebook support group, and one thing led to another, and it's just like snowballing. And so primarily my heart and my work is with the loved ones, because there are so many awesome resources out there for veterans and more every day. And that's such good news. But there, at least when I started, there was really hardly anything for the loved ones. And how do I come alongside, take care of my needs, stay mindful of me and self-care, and still love and support, and yet know when to give them space, how to be supportive, how to listen, how to put up healthy boundaries when that's necessary, and so all those things. So I'll take a pause so you can ask more questions.
Wow. Only takes one voice. Takes one voice to get a movement started, man, and you have been that one voice. So awesome.
That's good. I tell you, we're going to take our first break, and to be honest with you, between me, you, and the doorpost, this was the appetizer of what we have. When we get on the other side of this first break, we're going to get into the meat and the taters, and we're going to suck off every fact off the bones from you, because I want to drill in deep now. I want to talk about triggers. I want to talk about healthy boundaries. I want to talk about how do you control rage and anger when you're the one watching them go through that. What's your response should be? There's so many things I want to ask you. So on the other side of this break, we're going to take our first commercial break. But I want to let you know that if you want to comment, feel free to have a comment or a question. Get on Facebook right now, Shattered by the Darkness. Curtis is watching it live right now, or 888-627-6008. We will be right back in about a minute and 28 seconds for the second segment with Welby O'Brien. Be right back. This couldn't be coming at a better time. Have you ever felt like you were just trapped and couldn't find your way out of darkness? Have you ever felt like you were drowning and fighting to find your next breath? Well, coming in June 2020, will be the second of a three-part trilogy, my new book, Overcoming the Darkness, The Roadmap to Hope. This new book will provide you a step-by-step approach of how to reach that destination, that important destination called hope. Now, two additional resources are going to be made available when this book is released. One, The Map to Hope. It'll be a handy guide that you can carry around with you, put in your briefcase or put in your purse. And this guide is going to help you find your way when you're stuck in life looking and searching for hope. And then the other resource, the Overcoming the Darkness Companion Journal. I have always believed that journaling is the first step to finding real healing and hope in your life. And this journal will guide you down that path. I'm excited about these resources and this new book that's going to be released in June 2020, the Summer of Hope. Now back to the next segment of Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams right here on BBS Radio. Thank you for coming back with us. We are here tonight with Welby O'Brien, and I am just so excited. And, you know, I downloaded your book, and I love what technology does, because I have it right here on my phone, believe it or not, and I've read it actually on my iPad. But your table of contents for this book is so awesome because it's so easy to read. And it's literally just questions. What is PTSD? Can his PTSD affect me? What? And then it just goes on and on. Look at all these questions that you have. And then she goes into depth with each question. I truly want everybody to grab this book. If it's not for somebody in your inner circle, it may be somebody that's a friend with you at the office, but it'll be something that you will need to have. And there's a lot of stuff that can co-mingle with other things in your life. Isn't that right, Welby? This isn't just for veterans?
Definitely. That's personally my experience, but it's support for the person with PTSD and primarily the person that's supporting them. We talk a lot about self-care, and definitely the principles will apply even if it's not necessarily military related. There is a lot of military stuff in there because that's the context that I'm drawing from. But I think there's plenty there that would be helpful for other applications too.
Do you think we use the term PTSD too lightly or too frequently? Or do you think it really does maybe what families are dealing with right now with this pandemic. I mean, Houston's a hot zone right now. And what people are going through, can they come out of that? We had a flood several years ago, and I noticed people in my office would react differently when it rains now. And you kind of go, whoa. And can that cause PTSD?
Absolutely. It can be any kind of a disaster, loss of a loved one, an accident, anything where you feel your life is threatened. And when this pandemic and everything started several months ago, there are several levels on which people could eventually get PTSD. It just depends on how intense it was for each individual. When your finances are just taken away from you, when your health is threatened, am I going to even live through the week? How about my loved ones? And safety, whenever you feel seriously unsafe, that can contribute to PTSD. Not everybody will get it, but it's something to definitely be aware of, that everybody could get it. And definitely these are hard times. There's a lot going on, and I'm finding it in myself, just so much hypervigilance. And I think a lot of people, you know, I work online all day long with others who are struggling. A lot of people are having trouble sleeping. So definitely it will affect people around the world. To what degree, that remains to be seen yet. But I think it's good that people are talking about PTSD. It wasn't too long ago that it wasn't even acknowledged.
Yeah,
there's always going to be people who may be using it as an excuse for bad behavior. And that's a shame, because that ruins it for the people who really are valid and need the good support. So that answered the question?
Absolutely, absolutely. With the people that we have listening, and I know for a fact there's people listening right now that have children, husbands or wives that are dealing with this in their personal life. How would you respond if a spouse, and I won't even put the gender on the comment, because it affects both. I mean, you don't, not necessarily the man's the one that's always come out of the military nowadays. It could be the woman too. So we're just going to gender free this. How would you discuss what needs to be a few of the first steps with a spouse that is living, cohabitating in the same home with somebody that has PTSD, and all of a sudden they're seeing behavior that they never seen before, and it's scary. What's some of the things that you would say, okay, wait, this is what you need to start doing? Mm-hmm. What wisdom?
I think basically, and this is good advice for whether you're just starting or whether it's been going on for a while, the first thing is to learn all you can. Get information. And you can go to our website, loveourvets.org. We've got a ton of resource links, blogs, information, explanations. So learn what you can, first of all. And then secondly, connect with others who are on a similar journey. Again, we've got ways that you can do that, online support groups and so on, for the person with PTSD and for the loved one. So that is the very bottom line, is learn what you can, connect for support, and then the other things can all be added in as you continue to grow. So you, please know you're not alone. That's the was the worst thing for me when I first was in the world of PTSD, was nobody knows what I'm going through. This is such a beast that I've never encountered before. And where do I go? What do I do? Where is there help? So know that you're not alone. There's people just all around ready to support and go along the journey with you. It's not a perfect journey, but the good news is that it's possible. And it can be actually good. I want to stick that in there. I forgot the end of the story. We've been married, happily for 12 years now, and the most fulfilling relationship either of us have ever had. And so that's just why I'm excited about what we're doing, because it's possible.
Yeah. Yes, ma'am.
Do you feel that when people, for instance, my own world, when I need somebody to come and sit beside me, and there's days I do, mm-hmm. I say, I want you to leave. Mm-hmm. Leave me alone. But internally, I'm wanting you to say, no way, I'm staying with you. I need that. And then when they leave, I hurt myself emotionally by going, why'd they leave? Well, because I asked them to leave. Mm-hmm. That's always been a battle with me. Do you find that, is that a PTSD red flag, that people want to push people away in the very time that they need them the most?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you worded that really well. And that's totally common. Not a good thing, but it is what happens. And the loved one ends up taking it personally.
Sure.
Yeah, what have I done wrong? Or how can I fix this? Maybe I just didn't say the right thing, or didn't fix the right dinner, or whatever. We end up just totally second guessing ourselves. What can I do to bring them out of this? In our case, we called it when he goes into his cave. And I had to learn that there are times when he just needs that, and I need to be okay with it. And then there are times when I just need to keep gently saying, okay, I'm come back in the room and say, just checking in. I love you. What can I do to be helpful? Do you need time alone? Do you want me to just sit here with you? And then leave it up to the other person. So we're not responsible for how the choice that you're going to do or how you're going to respond. And that's okay. And it's okay for you to not beat yourself up for not doing it all perfectly either. So it all can be worked through and talked through at another time, maybe when people aren't triggered or in that position, just, you know, maybe coming up with secret code words or whatever it is, but talking about it later, just expressing what you just said just now. You know, I'm frustrated because I sort of need to be alone. I sort of need you, and I don't even know what I need. And I don't want to hurt you. I don't want to hurt me, but this is just the way it is. And sometimes there's just no answer, but just coming together and talking about it and supporting each other. And if you are people of faith and you can pray together, I mean, that's huge. So there's no easy answer, but.
Okay, you opened that box. So let's go ahead and rip it open wide. How important is faith in any type of emotional trauma and recovery, but especially in the PTSD? Is that something that you advocate? Because obviously in your books, you do. I mean, you're heavily into that, which I love. Is that something that you always recommend? Or basically, do you say, well, if you are a believer, or is it something that they really need to lean on?
All of the above. excuse me. I say that two really key things are faith and love. Faith brings connection with God, and love is connection with people. And those are two crucial pathways to survival, and not just survival, but growth and healing and fulfillment. So I know that there are a lot, probably the majority of people who have been traumatized, who really struggle with their faith. And where was God when this happened? And why did it happen? And why is this happening? And they've given up on God, and they're angry or afraid, and they don't have faith, or they don't want to go that route. And so there are a lot of people like that, and I always want to just encourage them to just stay open, reach out to God, not talking about religion at all. I'm talking about God and his arms open wide, relationship with Jesus Christ, or wherever you are on your spiritual journey, to stay open and not give up. And I know personally, for my husband and myself, being able to pray together, read the Bible together, and be on that same wavelength with eternal perspective, and be able to encourage each other. And when one of us is having a downtime and the other one can kind of encourage and support, and it may flip-flop the other way at another time. But I do think it's crucial and very helpful, at least in the lives of the people that I have been involved with. I do see a difference, and I encourage people, wherever you are, don't give up on God.
That's right. That's right. I think, Curtis, you have a question either from Facebook or some other source. Okay, I can't hear you, Curtis. Can you hear Curtis while we...
Yeah, here we go. No. Sorry about that.
Okay. That's fine. Go ahead.
So I'll speak on this for a few seconds before I ask it, but I know with being in the military currently, or even when you do get out, one of the biggest stigmatisms that we deal with is, if I ask for help, I'm weak. Mm-hmm. So the question that was asked is, what do you do when somebody says that stigmatism or has that thought? If I ask you for help, ma'am, I'm weak.
Good question, Kurt.
Yeah. And that is kind of counterintuitive to everything you as warriors have been trained to do. You power through, you give your life, you forward in, and you don't stop to think about, what do I need? And that's just, it's not allowed. It's you just go for it. You are strong. You have to be strong, and that's the only choice you have. So coming out of it, and I would just say, it doesn't mean that at all. In fact, what we say often is, it takes more courage and strength to reach out for help than it does to not. And I know when my husband, after dealing with the PTSD for 40 years without knowing what it was or anything, it took him years of working with a counselor and learning and working with peer support before he was ready to get to the point where he would step into the doorway of a vet center, and somebody went with him, and it changed his life. So I would say, this may sound cliche, but it's true. If you can reach out at any level for that next step, not to necessarily make any huge commitment, but just explore, find out what options are out there. Talk to somebody who is progressing with their PTSD, and it's always going to be, you know, all over the place, but they will have made progress. And take that step and do it for yourself and for those you love. So if you can't do it for yourself, do it for the people who love you and those you love. And I'm cheering you on, because I know it does take courage. And I think it takes more strength to do that than not.
Right.
Awesome answer. Awesome.
I tell you what, we're going to take our last break. I really, really would love to have somebody call in if they have a question or a comment on this program and this very timely subject that affects so many people in our world. I don't even think sometimes we label things too quickly, and then sometimes we don't label things at all. But it's something that needs to be discussed. And we're going to talk on the other side of the break, Welby, about, okay, now I'm the one that's enduring it. What do I need to do for myself? How do I need to, when I'm under control, deal with my spouse and my children? And what kind of conversations maybe we need to enter into during those calmer times? But if you want to call in, 888-627-6008, I would love. I know we're getting comments on Facebook. Continue to do that. Curtis will let us know what's going on there. 888-627-6008. And we'll be right back after this last commercial break. Don't leave us. Come right back.
From HCI Publishing, that brought you the international bestsellers, A Child Called It, and the Chicken Soup for the Soul series, comes the latest book by Dr. Gregory Williams, Shattered by the Darkness. This book describes the horrific abuse that Dr. Williams suffered at the hands of his father for over 12 years, and the damaging effect of keeping everything silent about that abuse for 30 years. If you're looking for that book that you can't put down, then pick up a copy of Shattered by the Darkness by Dr. Gregory Williams at all Barnes & Noble stores, Amazon, and Books A Million. Now, back to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams.
Welcome back. We are on the last segment with our guest from Portland, Oregon, Welby O'Brien, and she is the author of Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD, and also Goodbye for Now, and several other books. And I recommend those two books most definitely, especially the Goodbye for Now, if it's something that's happening to you right now, that if you have just lost a loved one, it is an excellent tool that I wish everybody had a copy of that for when something happens and you need. It has so much great resources in there. I was just going through your table of contents, which I love, and some of the questions, which I think is very interesting in this, which I love the way you put this. And you kind of already hit this, but the way she has the book laid out is it's basically there's question one, two, here's four. Can I help him? You kind of hit on that a little bit. But the next couple are really, really good questions. What about living in what seems to be constant negativity? It really starts to grind on the nerve, does it not? And it's kind of like you just keep hitting the nerve. How does a person deal with that? Not only the spouse, but the person that lives in that world, we don't want to be this way. How do we deal with that? Constant negativity.
Yeah, well, I'm still working on that one.
That's a new book coming out next year.
Yeah, the sequel. That's a really good point that people don't realize is it's actually something called vicarious trauma, secondary PTSD. And the people who are close to the PTSD survivor, over time, kind of like secondhand smoke, for an example, start taking on many of the same symptoms. And I remember the first time I got triggered, and it was just foreign to me. I was like, wow, what is this? And then I worked it through with my counselor and went back and processed it. But we as loved ones find ourselves being hypervigilant. I'm like this all the time now, and we find ourselves going down into the deep dark hole when they do, getting triggered, having trouble sleeping, a lot of those same things. So the first thing is to just be aware. That's probably the biggest thing. Be aware, stay aware of how am I feeling. Stay differentiated. Don't become them. You don't have to go down and up and down and in the mood swings and all that. But to stay aware, ask yourself throughout the day, how am I feeling? My danger was I ended up just stuffing stuff and I wanted to power through and, you know, and not realizing that I was holding in resentment and a bunch of stuff until, well, there's another story for another time, but I ended up kicking something I should have never and broke my foot. That's not public knowledge, not till now anyway, but
the whole world knows now.
So staying aware of what do I need, how am I feeling, and again remembering it isn't me. I can't fix it, I can't fix them, and take care of me. Those are the three big ones. And to have a conversation with them if you can, depending on how that relationship is and how reactive they may be, just sometimes helping them be aware. It's like, are you aware that, you know, the last 10 things you've said have been like really negative, or, you know, so you have to figure out how to actually do that, but to maybe help them be aware, because often they're not, or maybe they are. And if it's something that ends up being like an abusive situation, now that's different.
Different ball. If there's
mistreatment or emotionally or physically, then all bets are off and you draw the line, you get out of there, you do what you have to be safe. There's no let's talk about this or let's do this, but that's a different situation. And I'm thankful that that's not the case here, but many people do struggle with that.
Right. Hey, Curtis, you say we have another question. You have something you want to?
Yes, we actually have about, it's a kind of a three-part question. So
Okay.
Let me see here. Okay, so the first question is what do you think about EMDR or CBT treatment for PTSD?
Okay, well, to be honest with you, I am not an expert on the different therapies and treatments out there. We do have links on our website, loveourvets.org, that will take you to sites that will explain those. You can also talk to people. That's the best thing. Talk to people who have done it. And the people that I've heard from, the responses are all over the place. So some people find that it's a really good fit and it's helpful and they swear by it and they want everybody to do it. Some people say it didn't work for me. We needed to try something else. So personally, I can't weigh in from experience on that one, but I encourage you to look into it and talk to people.
Okay. Curtis, you got another part?
It's two more parts. So the next part is how effective are PTSD therapy dogs? And do you know of any programs that can help non-veterans to get therapy dogs?
That's a great question. I am a huge supporter of therapy dogs.
Wow.
Definitely found, just can't get enough input from people who just wouldn't be here if it weren't for their dogs. So, and I'm a dog lover too. So there you go. We do have a section on our website for PTSD therapy dogs. And I do think there might be some links there that might not be military related. So check that. And I don't off the top of my head know, but definitely, definitely worth looking into. And make sure they're trained right.
Yes. Yes. So we're going to jump back to the dog lover. I have one picture in my office, and that is right there, and that is of my dog.
Oh, what's his name?
Her name's Harley.
Harley, oh.
But we have one more part from, and this is from Bernice, from Bernice Schaefer. And her last part of her question is, when can grief cross into PTSD?
Oh, good question. Does it automatically, Welby, or is it the manner in which the grief was entered into their life?
Yeah, it would definitely depend on the circumstances and the individual, and a lot depends on what the person has been through already in their life and what kind of condition they're in when the trauma happens or when the grief occurs. So it's not, I agree, it's not necessarily always a related, sequential or whatever. They can, you can go through grief and not get PTSD. I would think that probably most people with PTSD have a lot to grieve. So looking at it from that side, either way, what you need to do is make sure you have good support. You're able to find a healthy way to process the feelings, and whether it's the PTSD, the grief, there's going to be just a constant influx, outpouring of feelings and stuff that you need to be able to face and work through. And it's not easy and it's not fun, but it's so worth it.
Is there steps that, for instance, fear is something that I don't admit to, but I will right now when I'm alone, that there's things that I fear. How can I overcome sometimes that awful fear of not wanting to sleep, and keeping myself literally awake? How does a person overcome that? And I can't imagine even coming back from military, you know, being in another part of the world and bombs going off and you didn't know when people's coming into your tents and killing people. And I can't even imagine that world, but I can imagine my world when my dad would enter in. And now that fear is still there, although I have God, and God is my shelter and my strength, my anchor, but that fear still rises up certain times. How do you recommend to start dealing with fear? Because I know you talk about that in your book too.
Well, even David said, when I am afraid,
yeah,
I will trust. And I think it's kind of always going to be there. Remember that PTSD is not a switch that you can just turn off. It's not a matter of, well, if I just think this thought, or if I just do this, the word just kind of trivializes everything, but the trauma is ingrained in every part of your body. It's the brain chemistry has been altered, and it's not a matter of any one little thing or these three steps that are going to fix it. There are things you can do that will help. And that's where working with a good therapist or counselor or whatever, there are, you know, lots of anti-anxiety things you can do. Medication helps some people. Prayer helps people, doing things physical. So just remember, don't beat yourself up, because sometimes just saying, oh, that's what that is, that's anxiety over this, or that fear comes from this. And sometimes that helps relieve it right there, realizing what it is. It's not your fault. It's not necessarily anything you can control, at least make it totally go away. So it would be different for every individual.
Right, right. If people want to get in touch with you, your organization, get your books, get in these groups, get more information, resources that you have available, what's a couple of the best sites? I know you've mentioned them already, but I want to make sure everybody, I believe maybe Curtis has put it online, the one of those, but what would be the best way to get in touch with you, Welby, if they would like to reach out in your organization?
Okay, so loveourvets.org, www.loveourvets.org. And that's the PTSD site with all the resources, support for PTSD, support for the loved ones, support for veterans, and so on. My personal website with the other books on divorce, grief, and PTSD is welbyo.com, W-E-L-B-Y-O.com. And you can get in touch with me through either site.
Fantastic. We have a few more minutes, so there's still time to call in, 888-627-6008, or hop on and on Facebook, Shattered by the Darkness. Do you see a lot of situations, Welby, in your groups that you deal with, organize and counsel with people in your field, that people come back from even EMTs from a traumatic situation? They left the house, one person, they came back different. Is there a process of grief that deals with they've changed? That's not the same person that left this morning, or they went to a part of the world for a gig in the military and they came back and they're different. How does that deal with people's grief and PTSD, and how does that co-mingle with each other?
That's a really good point to bring up, because I think it's far more common than we realize, and
yeah,
people are just surprised and don't know how to handle it. But and it's hard on the person who's wrestling with the trauma, and it's hard on the loved ones both. There's just no easy answer. But we have to know that, yes, they've changed, and everything has changed. Not everything's changed. They're still them, and they're still, you can love them, you can encourage them, you can listen and be there to support and help find resources. So don't ever, ever give up. One thing I like to say is that with PTSD, every day is a victory. And to just encourage yourself that you go through every day what people would not realize, what it takes to just get through a day. And nobody knows except you and the Lord and others who may have similar experiences. So I just want to encourage you to just hang in there and know that it's possible to have hope. It's possible to thrive. And whether you're a loved one or a firsthand PTSD survivor, just connect with that support and learn what you can, and just know that there's help and hope.
Good words. We just got the nod that we can go as long as we want, but I will not violate your time and take advantage of that. We will go. I got another question or two. Is this one of those secret ailments that people try to handle in their house alone or with their spouse, and when it comes to trying to discuss it with their circle of friends or their family, either the person that's enduring it, experiencing it, or the one that's living with that person goes, oh, no, it's too embarrassing. How can we break that facade that it's not an embarrassment? And how would you explain it to somebody in your family of saying, hey, wait, this person endured this? We need to be understanding. How would you have that conversation with a family member that needs to hear that?
I have a meme that I post often on our Facebook page that's titled, When Others Don't Get It. And I have a blog and a list of what to do, because it is so common. And I know it was in my life. And I remember after I wrote the book, I gave it to my mom to read. And after she read it, she called me up. She said, I owe you and your husband a huge apology. She said, I had no idea. I had no idea what he goes through. And so you could share the book with them. But something that's actually easier is we have a graphic. It's on the website. You can download it for free. We also have it in card form. It's called PTSD Basics. And it's a summary of what PTSD is. And then on the back is a list of what not to do or say, and what to do or say that's helpful. And it's a wonderful tool to share with people who are unfamiliar with PTSD. It's a wonderful way to start a conversation. It's just easy. You can just give them to people and talk about it at your convenience. But that's what we've found helpful. And we mail these out for free to organizations or people that want to pass them out, and people just love them. So contact me if you want some cards, or you can just download the graphic on the website.
Fantastic. Great, great. Curtis, you got anything else from the Facebook page?
We do. We have one more question that just came in okay. at the last second from sure. Stephen Sawyer. He believes PTSD, should it be extended to adult children of abuse as well?
The question is, do adult children of abuse have PTSD? Is that what he's asking?
I believe so, yes, ma'am. Should we ever be, I don't like the word label, but should we would use that term with kids suffered with abuse as a child?
Am I experiencing PTSD? Do I experience it from what I went through, Bobby?
PTSD applies to anybody who has been through a horrific traumatic experience, and it can apply to anybody of any age. And I encourage you, if you think that you're struggling with it, reach out, get help, look into it, and don't, as Greg mentioned a few minutes ago, don't try to hold it in, stuff it, power through it. But there's a lot more support and understanding out there than ever before. So if you think you're struggling with those symptoms that we talked about and you need some support and some resources, then by all means, reach out for that. And I'm cheering you on. I hope you have good loved ones to support you.
You know, I think I stayed away from that because I just started coming out with the story that I kept silent for 35 plus years. Mm-hmm. I didn't go too deep with PTSD because I really, and here I am, a PhD in counseling, I really kind of thought, okay, that's more for that core of people and what they experience in the military and things of that order in their service. I didn't really ever apply that to me, but the more digging in information, it's like, wow. And if I had known that, I may have reached out for help a lot longer, because the very same things that they go through, I physically and emotionally go through all the time.
Yeah. And it's important to not go to either extreme. I run across people who sort of get into a one-upmanship of, well, my trauma was worse than yours. And or the other extreme, well, mine wasn't important enough. Maybe I don't deserve the help like so-and-so does. So somewhere in the middle, if you need help, then reach out, and it's there for you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Anything else, Welby, that you would just always want to share with the people and say, hey, wait, I wish they would have allowed me to share that before we go tonight? I won't take too much more of your time. We're already on the extended version here. But anything else from your heart that you really want the listeners to hear tonight? Because we have thousands and thousands of people listening to your voice right now.
I will reiterate what I've said before. I think the bottom line is two things. First of all, learn all you can. So explore the resources. And secondly, reach out and connect with others for support. And that's the bottom line, a wonderful place to start. And you can just kind of go from there.
Yeah, it seems like in my own personal life, I kept covering it up. And that did more damage mm-hmm. on me for the past decades of years that I pretended. And that is not. So if there's somebody listening tonight and you think this may be you, reach out to somebody, call me, contact Welby, get in touch with somebody to just tell the story. And I also like that you believe in journaling. I am a big advocate in journaling. Get it out at least on paper. Deal with it. Find out who you really are. Then the stepping stones to hope can start. But how can you get to a destination when you don't know where you are, or at least admitting to where you are? I can't go on a trip to Austin and put it in my GPS until the GPS zeroes into, oh, wait, you're in Houston on Holcomb Boulevard. At that point, it can say, this is how to get there. But we have to find out where am I at right now, and then we can get to the destination of hope. Well, we thank you for being with us tonight from Portland, Oregon. I appreciate it. And tell your husband thank you for allowing us to steal an hour plus of your time this evening. I appreciate that. And I'd love to have you back. And I really want to advocate, get that book. Do you have a copy of the book right there where you can hold it up?
I just happen to have that.
I do. I want to see that. Yes. It is excellent. I downloaded the Kindle version, but it is excellent. I've read every single page of this, and I truly say that's the one to get this week and read it. It will help you. Love Our Vets, Restoring Hope for Families of Veterans with PTSD. And awesome, awesome cover that you have. Last words?
Again, I just want to thank you for everything that you do. Thank you from the bottom of my heart. Thank you so much.
And likewise, you too, Kurt. God bless you.
God bless you.
Thank you. Well, we always like to end the program every week with the same thing. And I hope this never gets old, because it doesn't with me. No matter what you have gone through in your life, no matter what you're going through this very second, huddle up, listen. Lean into the computer, to the radio, or wherever you're listening to this. No matter what's going on, there's always hope. Mm-hmm. There's always, always hope. Never give up on hope. Reach out, get it. It's there. Don't ever say there is no hope, because as long as you're breathing, there's hope. Join us right here next week for another edition of Breaking the Silence. On behalf of Doug and Chris and Welby and Curtis and all the people that help on the backgrounds of the show, we just want to thank you for being with us. I'm Greg Williams, live from Houston. We'll be right here 8 p.m. Central Time next Sunday night for Breaking the Silence. Have an awesome, awesome week. God bless. Thank you for being with us.
Thank you for listening to Breaking the Silence with Dr. Gregory Williams. To contact Dr. Williams, dial 832-396-6525 or email him at shatteredbythedarkness@gmail.com. And don't forget to join us each Sunday night at 8 p.m. Central Time, 6 p.m. Pacific on BBS Radio Station 1 for the next episode of Breaking the Silence.